And good morning, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Willie Donick, Darren McFarlane, Chase McCabe. Once again, doing our show from different areas of our listening population, and glad to have all of you with us again here today. I'll tell you what, we're settling into a rhythm here. We know, if you're watching any news, that you know the situation is not great, and of course, it's going to get worse before it gets better. We've been saying that for a while, but we continue on with this, and we want to be here for you, and we're going to be here for you every day from Monday through Friday from 10 to 2. So let's check in and take attendance. Let's make sure, first of all, that Chase McCabe is working his side, the west side. Chase, good morning.
West side checking in.
All right, and now let's find out if Darren McFarlane is situated, ready to go, as we make the transition for morning drive to our show. Darren, are you ready to roll?
Willie, sorry about that. I had to step away and make sure that what I was seeing was correct. So I know we're going to get to that in just a second. I'm sure you guys have seen a nice little gift for us to start off the show. It's always nice when you can get news. You know, in the climate that we're in, it's always good to get news. So, yes, I'm ready to go.
Love news.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, John Robinson. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well,
okay,
so also, what is it?
I didn't know if you were going to bring in Elijah. I didn't know if we were done. This just happened.
Well, okay, let's
do the breaking news.
We should be official.
Oh, we're breaking it? It's official
Elijah,
now?
He's holding down the fort. Yeah.
I think so. Looks pretty good. I want to know what you guys think. Like I said, thank you, John Robinson.
I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. I am.
Yeah, I guess
well,
I
we've been wondering. We've been wondering, would this happen? Would it not happen? Is it going to be before the draft, after the draft? Looks like John Robinson, Mike Vrabel, and the Titans have found their man, Jadeveon Clowney. Listen to this. 4 years, $72 million. But there's a catch. So that's 18 per. So they got him for a cheaper price than what we've been hearing. But the catch is, it's like Kirk Cousins. It's completely guaranteed. What do you think?
What?
Yep.
What?
It's guaranteed. 4 years, $72 million, completely guaranteed. So he's got the Kirk Cousins deal, which maybe that's the new trend in the NFL. Maybe that was the compromise for getting him at a cheaper rate. He wanted 20, 21, 22 million per. They gave him 18, but they had to guarantee it. And it's 4 years. Doesn't sound like you guys are very excited.
No. Well, I mean, I'm glad to have him, but for that?
I don't think that's too much.
I'm just shocked.
Yeah, I mean,
I actually think that's a pretty good deal.
I don't even know what to say. I haven't even seen this.
Well, because it just happened. That's why, you know, that's like I said, thank you for the gift at the beginning of the show. Hello.
Well, that is something. I was not expecting that.
We kind of knew something was in the works, but wasn't sure. It's been kind of quiet. That's the way, you know, John Robinson operates. We've been saying this. This is how he operates. Nothing gets out until boom, there you go.
Boom.
Well, I just personally say I like it.
You like 4 years of guaranteed money? You said $72 million.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Do you want a pass rusher?
That's a lot.
You want a guy that can get to the quarterback?
Of course, I want a pass rusher. But you know, I want other things too with this team. And you know, you've now 4 years. You're locked in. There's no getting out of that.
But a Clowney deal, do you think you could get out in a year or two anyway? You know?
Yeah, but what happens in the third and the fourth year?
I mean, you can get out, but you're paying. That's a cap hit. You're paying.
How old is he? 27, right?
Yeah, I think.
27. And he just turned 27. Isn't that the prime of his career?
Yeah.
Just turned 27 last
maybe.
Month.
Maybe. Partially.
I mean, that's – you get the arguably one of the best guys in the league at doing what he does, and you get him in the prime of his career. I don't know. I thought you guys would have a little bit better reaction than that. I thought you would be a little bit more excited.
I'm just shocked. This is shock face. You can't see me because I'm at my house and wearing sweatpants that probably need to go in the wash. But I'm shocked.
Well, this is out there. This is what's being. I'm seeing all this. John Robinson is supposed to talk at 12:15. I would assume that that's what they were setting this up to do, but it looks like it has gotten out before that press conference. So we'll get more details, I guess, in a couple of hours.
Yeah, with the draft later in April, and I guess as the calendar turns to April, they've made a big move.
I wonder why now, you know?
Why now?
Everybody's been sitting and waiting and waiting.
Why today?
Why today?
Is there that's a good question. If there's a significance or something.
Nonetheless, good signing. I like it. You guys don't seem to be on board.
I mean, I like it. You got a pass rush.
Yeah.
I guess you guys suck. What's
at this.
The league
I mean,
reaction?
I don't
suck.
Know what you want me
you
to say.
You suck at this. I mean, both of you suck. Okay, don't get into acting. You suck.
That's why.
I mean, way to play along. My goodness, I got nothing to say.
Well, how long were you playing? How long were you planning on stretching this out?
I mean, Nate's already tweeting about it. So, we're getting texts. Asking about Derrick Henry.
Sorry for having a little fun today. I mean, my goodness. Golly. Speechless. Sports Talk Radio.
So are you...
Speechless.
Are you saying what day it is now?
Well, I think, you know, by the response or lack of, you know, sitting here letting me die on a vine was already the hint to anybody out there listening that this was the worst April Fool's joke in the history of radio.
it's not the worst.
No, there have
it
been
was
worse.
Not the worst. I think I might have had the worst.
No, there have been some bad ones.
Didn't
well,
you?
Well, the worst ones are the ones that when people lose their jobs over. That's the worst ones.
Didn't you do
and that's
one?
Happened.
Didn't you do one? Johnny and Nate, it's a joke. Didn't you do one where you said George was going to work for the Braves?
Willie did that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I did that.
And
I'll tell you what,
right?
That one, I'll tell you, it worked better than I intended it to. Because, Darren, in all honesty, you took that for about 7 minutes, okay? I took it for less than seven back in the day, and George was not on the air that day. He was not in on the joke.
I remember.
And he, within the 2 or 3 minutes, was getting texts, taking a vacation day. And people congratulating him. He had no idea what they were talking about. I announced that he had taken a job with the Braves to do the middle three of the play-by-play on radio. And he was ready to flip his lid after a few minutes because he had to stepped out of his day of vacation and called the station and was like, what is going on? What are they doing? And our producer had to fill him in on what was going on. And he said, put me on hold and... When they go to the break, I need to talk to Willie. And I picked up the phone. I thought he was going to be saying, hey, that was a pretty good one. I thought he was going to say, hey, that was pretty good. You know, that was a good gag. You got me. And instead he was like, why? I'm taking a vacation day, and I'm getting all these calls congratulating me. What are you doing? You know, he was not happy. And then we had to spend, I swear, the next 2 hours of the show saying, it's a joke. It's a joke. People were calling in and saying, oh, I want to congratulate George. This is his dream job and everything. I was like, we created a monster. This was more trouble than it was worth.
Yep.
So we had to get very apologetic.
Darren, you wanted to have a little fun, and I apologize. I'm not a great actor. This is why I just talk about sports. So.
You should have had us not in on the joke. You informed us before the show
I think
that you were going to do this. That was your first mistake. I think you probably would have been better off well, having us scramble and try to scroll down our
like, I'm not seeing anything.
Like,
where are you seeing
where
this?
This
right,
from?
Exactly.
I'm not and seeing
that,
anything. Where are you
right,
seeing
and
this?
You guys would have spent the whole segment questioning me going, where's this coming from? Like, name the name. Who's this? Who's putting it out there? Where are you getting this from? Ian Rappaport? Is this Adam Schefter? Who's
nobody's
doing
talking
this?
About this.
Where do you see this? And so it would, we would spend the whole time. And so I thought, you know, shame on me. I consider you guys pros, and I thought you could act and you could
right.
play along a little bit. I
thought
you could have
act.
A little fun with this. Instead, you went,
I tried to act flabbergasted.
I don't know. I don't,
so did I. And halfway through,
I don't know what to say.
Darren, this is how well I know you because, look, I admit that I did not bring my A game. It was not a good job. And about halfway through, I'm thinking, yeah, Darren's about to just blast us because we're not selling this very well.
I mean, at least you could have been on the side. Just take a side and be like, this is a stupid deal. Like, this was ridiculous. Take a side. You guys are just like, I got no response. Titan side to Jadeveon Clowney. I got nothing. Yeah, because that's a normal response. I got nothing.
I was trying to act like I was speechless. I was trying to act like I was speechless. That was my.
Well, you did a good job there.
That was my part that I rehearsed, but it just didn't. It didn't go very well.
Let me make sure.
I'm gonna laugh
this,
if
this
it comes
is not.
Out.
This is not a joke because we did hint at this a lot yesterday. I need to see a couple more people confirming this, but it does look like, and this is not going to surprise me. But like I said, we did talk about this yesterday. Never saw an official response, but it does look like Wimbledon has been canceled for 2020. I want to make sure the wording. Is it postponed or is it canceled?
Well, I'm trying to pull that up because I haven't seen that come through yet. But I see Layman's tweet. Oh, here we go. It is with great regret that we've decided the championship will be canceled. This is Wimbledon actually tweeting
canceled.
That out.
Canceled. Mm. That was set to take place in what, late June? That's in what, early July?
Yeah, late June, early July.
Late June, early July.
The 134th championships will instead be staged from the 28th of June to the 11th of July, 2021. So it's canceled for this year.
So not even attempting to move it back. It's hard because there's other tournaments, right? If you moved it back, you would start to get conflicted with the hard court part of the season, you know, the U.S. Open, all of that. I'll tell you, that's tough. That is tough to have that tournament not be played.
Yeah. Yeah. No surprise. But anyway, so thank you for those who did play along and actually chimed in with, like, your comments of you liked it or you didn't like it. You did better than two of the hosts on this show, so thank you to the ones out on Twitter who actually were weighing in with opinions on the signing that wasn't real. So
you
thank
you for
that. You
can put us on the list.
It's just Wednesday. By the way, is it me or do the days just take forever?
Oh, it's hard to remember what day it is sometimes.
Yeah, that's the thing. I can't remember what day it is. They're moving kind of fast for me, but then I'm like, wait a minute. I just did this show. Like, are we doing the show again? Like, that's kind of where it's at.
All right, let's come back with Brant Snedeker. I always look forward to those conversations. We talk with Brant Snedeker. Sned's in the on-deck circle. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is official. Wimbledon has decided to cancel for the first time since World War II. It's the oldest Grand Slam tennis tournament, and it will not be played this year. End of June, early July. So it has indeed been canceled. So that was something that we were tossing out there yesterday that was hearing that it was getting close to they're getting close to pulling the plug, and it was just a matter of time, and indeed that has officially happened. Today we are voting on the Tim Corbin bracket, the Tim Corbin region. Number one seed David Price is in the Tim Corbin region. Shea Weber's the two seed. The three seed is Chris Johnson. The four seed is Frank Wycheck. The five seed is Brant Snedeker. And we are trying to chase down Brant. And as soon as we get him, we will bring him in the airwaves and talk to him. But before we do that, let's go on and let's get the results from yesterday. So, Chase, let's kind of go over the Jeff Fisher region. The votes are in the books. Eight people have advanced to the second round.
Yes, they have. So as I get those pulled up, and again, you can go to our Twitter account at 1025 The Game. So Steve McNair ran away with it, as we kind of expected, over Ian Clark. So he advances. Now, the boy, as he is referred to, Taylor Lewan, had his, you know, he had a campaign manager in Will Compton who does Bussin' with the Boys with him. He was able to defeat Thomas Vokoun. And so now Taylor Lewan will go head-to-head with Titans legend Steve McNair in the second round. So that should be cool. P.K. Subban had a pretty good victory over Vince Young to advance. The freak, Javon Kearse, took care. He sacked Jay Cutler, as he did a lot in his career. You like that? And so P.K. Subban will meet Javon Kearse. Now, this one, when we were doing...
Do you have the final tallies? Like, how close were these? Were they not close? Do you have the percentages?
Yeah, I'm scrolling. I'm having to do some scrolling. Here we go.
Is this how today's going to go?
I'll tell you what.
I got it. So Lewan defeated Vokoun 61% to 39%. Subban defeated Vince Young 67% to 33%. The Freak sacked Jay Cutler 77% to 23%. Now, this one during our show was neck and neck. And then towards the end of the show, Derek Barnett started to pull away from Shane Foster. The 11 upsets the 6, 67% to 33%.
I think so.
That was a stunner for me.
I think someone called it on Monday.
You did. Keith Bullock, that we had on, 93% to Engel Martin, 7%.
Wow.
So no upset there.
And we had Keith Bullock on yesterday.
This one got close. The 10 seed Ryan Tannehill upsets the 7, R.A. Dickey, 55% to 45%.
Wow.
I didn't get that one. Those were the two, the Foster and the Dickey. Those were the two. I can understand the Thomas Vokoun, a little recency stuff. I mean, Thomas Vokoun hasn't been in the news here for, you know, 10 or 15 years. I think those of us that are a little older can appreciate him a little bit more. But and of course, Taylor Lewan has the PR machine.
Yeah,
the platform for sure. But the other two, I was really surprised that Shane Foster not only lost, but it was a pretty decent margin. Derek Barnett got a lot of votes because there was no shortage of votes in this category. I thought that was pretty good stuff.
And then Roman Yossi, the captain of the Predators, 93%. Chantel Anderson, 7%. So the two advances there. So great turnout for the first day. Get in there until 9 o'clock tonight, and you can vote in the Tim Corbin region because we have opened that up. So very cool. And, again, your matchups for the second round for the Jeff Fisher region, McNair versus Lewan, Subban versus Javon Kearse, Derek Barnett versus Keith Bullock, Ryan Tannehill against Roman Yossi.
Okay, any early thoughts on that?
I'm curious about the Tannehill-Yossi matchup because I think you're going to see – you're going to see the diehards from one fan base going against the diehards of another fan base. So, and the ones that don't overlap. I think that'll be interesting. I feel like Derek Barnett, Keith Bullock could be a tough matchup. And then Javon Kearse, P.K. Subban. I think, unfortunately for the Freak, I would put my money on P.K. on that one. And I don't know about the boys' chances against Steve McNair.
But the boy's got his
he's got his backing. So that could be interesting.
That'll be interesting. I can't be surprised with anything. I do think the popularity and the recency is playing a big part. The one that I'm really curious about is Tannehill.
Yeah.
That's right. Is he just going to keep this thing rolling? Is this just going to be, well, it's going to be nobody's year, but maybe it's just going to be Tannehill's year. I mean, he's going to, AFC title game, then he got a new contract, and is he going to be the upset special in our bracket?
But in reality, you could say he should not beat Roman Yossi. He should not beat Roman Yossi, right?
And Lewan shouldn't beat McNair.
Would think no, but.
But people vote. People vote.
Sure.
They have control.
So I have results in the early voting for today. We're still trying to get Brant Snedeker, so hopefully we'll track him down at some point today. But David Price, 88% to Keenan Reynolds, 12%. John Henderson trails the 9-seeded Paul Kariya 59% to 41%.
Wow.
Now, this one to me should be close, but this is one where I wonder how many of our voters really know much about John Henderson, because his history, this John Henderson is an R.A. Dickey equivalent to me. Amazing high school athlete in this area who did a lot of his great work at University of Tennessee, like R.A., and then on the pro level, but not in Nashville, although R.A. did pitch for the Sounds. And, you know, he's going up against Paul Kariya, who was here for a very, very short time, kind of like Ryan Tannehill, but was excellent. Now, of course, Tannehill may be here for the next 5 years. Hopefully he will be, right? But we're doing this today, so we don't know what the future holds. But that one, I'm a little surprised that Kariya is that far ahead. But remember, we're very early in the voting, and some of the percentages did change a lot from the beginning of our show yesterday to the end of the show.
Yep, it can change a lot. And then the 4-seed Frank Wycheck leads the 13-seed Dansby Swanson, 81% to 19%. I thought that one would be a little closer than it is, and it could change. But Frankie running away with it right now. Brent Snedeker, the 5-seed, 63%. The 12-seed Jawan Jennings, 37%. Ryan, no surprise here, our guest coming up at noon, Jordan Matthews, the 11-seed, 67% to the 6-seed Ryan Suter at 33%.
I told you guys on Monday, what did I say you need to be looking at for the upset specials?
The 11.
Sixes and 11s. The 11s is the upset specials. It's already happened once, and I suspect it's probably going to happen again today.
Well, how many – The real question would be how many Predator fans who are diehard Predator fans would vote for Suter?
Yeah, I don't think too many.
Like if you take your emotions away from it, Ryan Suter was a tremendous player here for a long time. But we know how emotions can sway somebody's vote. And so you can ask the question, is he seated correctly at number six? And then Jawan Jennings as a 12 to me is seated too high. An easy one for Brant Snedeker, in my opinion. I think he's going to win this going away.
Chris Johnson, the 3-seed, leads the 14-seed Jalen Hurd, 93% to 7%.
Wow. Once again, it's like, you know, is any Vol fan going to vote for Jalen Hurd? It's kind of going back to the Ryan Suter.
He's kind of a Ryan Suter. Yeah, he is kind of a Ryan Suter.
Yeah, and against CJ2K. The 7-10 matchup, Kevin Byard, the mayor of Murfreesboro, 86%. The 10-seed, Joseph Newgarden, 14%.
Mm.
And then finally, the 2 and the 15.
That's Shea a big Weber. Gap for a 7 and a 10 matchup.
I know.
Right,
I know.
But consider the popularity of A, the Titans, and B, Byard. I think you can put that together and say to yourself, should he be a 7?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then finally, Shea Weber, the 2-seed, 87%. Mike Minor, the 15, 13%.
Mm. Okay.
So you can go to our 1025 The Game Twitter account and vote.
Keep those votes coming at 1025 The Game. What, they have till 9 o'clock tonight?
Yep.
So you've got a good ways to go, okay? So get those votes in. Tomorrow we unveil, what, the Phil Bredesen region for voting?
Okay. And I will say this. I just saw this as I was scrolling through and pulling up the results. I mean, I know Vince Young was eliminated, but did you guys see what ESPN's going to show tomorrow night at 7 o'clock? USC Texas, 2006, national championship. That's going
to
be fun.
For some reason, we're actually talking to someone who did not see that game. I would advise you to watch it. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm going
to
watch it. And I did see it. And I remember it vividly, but I'm going to watch it.
I will tell you this, guys. I stayed up late last night because I couldn't turn it off, and I wanted to watch it. And I knew that it was going to cost me some sleep, but who's kidding who? In these times, so what? When you find something that you can, that you have interest in watching.
Well, you have a really long commute these days, so.
Yeah, exactly. I watched the scheme last night till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Did you? I haven't watched it yet. I recorded it, but I have not. I was planning on watching it today.
Okay, so you have not seen it. Chase, have you seen it?
I haven't yet.
I have not.
Okay.
So you're saying I need to add that to my list.
Well, you considering
put it on the
what
list
we do.
And I texted you guys last night. We need to we need to have a discussion about this.
Yeah. Well, so I think maybe then we should hold off, because if you guys haven't watched it and I have, then maybe we hold off until tomorrow. That'll be today's homework.
Okay, well, look, before we do that, I want you to say real quick, though, Darren, did you just – what rating did you give it? Did you give it a big thumbs up? Because I'll be honest, some people who cover college sports and have been covering this story extensively were not wowed by it, that they're after watching it. I did see some feedback on college journalists.
That's fair. So tell me – give me what their input. What are they saying? And I'll
it varied
either agree
from,
or dispute.
It wasn't anything more than an emotional, hey, there wasn't much there. I thought there would be more there, and those are 2 hours that I could have done something else with, which is interesting to say during
yeah,
this time.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, can you really?
That to me sort of meant that it really was not very informative to them, but that's to people that have followed the ins and outs of this. I'm talking about people that really covered the story, that were at the trial when he was testifying and all that. So it may not have been new news to them. So for people that have not covered the details, they might view it differently. So I'm curious what you thought.
Well, it's the whole thing is centered around Christian Dawkins. I mean, he is the main character. He is the front and center man. He is in the leading role of this documentary, this HBO documentary, The Scheme. And his parents are involved, the attorney. And so I guess what I would say to those people that are putting that out, I understand, because it feels like you're getting one side. And also, though, you kind of understand why. Because imagine this. Mark Emmert and the NCAA did not have comment. The FBI was asked to be a part of this. They did not have any comment, even though the FBI was heavily involved in this. I mean, like actually getting comments from them and having them answer questions. They chose not to. They asked, obviously, Sean Miller and Will Wade to be a part of it. They declined, nothing from them. So they asked other parties to be involved in this, and, of course, nobody did. And the big shoe companies, it just – the way I – trying to figure out the best. I think what's perplexing, puzzling, however you want to describe it to me, is they went after this whole thing was to go after the coaches. They wanted the big fish. Okay. They wanted to bring down a name like Patino. They wanted to bring down, big programs, attention getters. Okay. They knew the sport was corrupt. We've all known the sport has been corrupt for a long, long time. And they've got a sleaze bucket that they have in Mark Blaise, who has been, doing all kinds of things, gotten his hands in all kinds of messes involving the SEC and, trading. And, he's been laundering money. He's been stealing money, Ponzi schemes, the whole thing. We've heard all those stories before, right? Well, his ticket out was to roll this story out to them. This was to roll – roll everybody out and rat on the underbelly of the college basketball world, because
it has the Will Wade audio in it, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That was the part and you have to wait, unfortunately, towards the end. So if you're looking for that at the beginning, you have to wait a long time before you actually get the conversations with Sean Miller and Will Wade. Look, when you hear the conversations with Sean Miller, like Christian Dawkins tries to paint himself as, he got dumped on, he got made out to be the guy, he tries to play woe is me, and he's a hustler just like all of them are. He is. He's a smart guy. He is. And he deserves some credit, because he's been a go-getter his whole life, and to do it at the early age. But the bottom line is he's a hustler, and to be in that world, you have to be a hustler. Okay, and he got hustled, and he got, he made bad choices, and he got popped for it. Okay, and he knows it, but he's trying to play the innocent role, and he didn't, he didn't sell me on it, because the bottom line is he's a hustler, but he is also a smart guy. And, you know, he's doing what other – if he didn't do it, somebody else would be doing it, right? And I'm sure that's his mentality, and I guess that's the mentality of a lot of people who cheat or do things. It's, well, if I didn't do it, you know, the guy next to me is going to be doing it, so what's the difference, right? I guess you could say that in steroid error or anything else. Well, if I didn't do it, everybody else in my room is doing it, so why not? They went after – and so, yes, getting back to the Will Wade and the Rick Pitino – audio is, or the Sean Miller and Will Wade audio is, I mean, if you just sit there and listen to it, if you're being honest, unless you're just a diehard LSU or Arizona fan, and you, there would be nothing in the world that could change your mind. Like, there's nobody, I don't think, objectively, that could sit there and listen to those tapes, those conversations with Christian Dawkins, high profile, you know, or Division I coaches at high profile schools, and not say that they are talking about landing guys and for what price tag and how much they're willing to do and what other people are doing. I mean, what's crazy is, like, Creighton was involved. I mean, school's willing to pay, you know, $100,000 for who was the kid that went to Louisville? Brian, is it Downing? What was his name?
Brian Bowen.
Brian
Bowen. That's correct.
Like, what other schools were what they were willing to pay? Like Creighton? Now, you know, you would think it would be literally the big, big boys, right? The blue bloods. No, you had other schools that were willing to pony up, too. So
that's
it just goes
so
to show you, yeah, the depths of where this is. But look, if you sit there and listen to Will Wade, that tape, and we've already seen the, basically what he says on the tapes in writing, but when you hear it, it's like, come on, man. And the fact that these guys are still coaching, they're still employed, is absolutely amazing. But I guess the intriguing part, Willie, is they were set out to get the coaches, and for whatever reason, what I would like to know is why didn't they roll on the coaches? Like, why don't we have – why weren't the coaches – why didn't they testify? Why don't we have any of that stuff? Why does it feel like, according to this documentary, the FBI just backed off?
That is the question. That's
well,
that's
I think we've been asking that question for a couple years since this thing hit. When that story hit, I think we all were saying, boy, college basketball has changed forever. Wait till you see the fallout from this, and it really didn't materialize that way, right? It hasn't.
No. Pitino just got another job.
Well, that's why. Yeah, now he's. Now, he's the one guy that did suffer a big penalty, right?
He had been doing a lot of bad stuff.
Never even lost their job were right in the middle of the web from the very start. You know, Wade and
like Will
Miller
Wade,
being two good examples. But I guess I need to watch it, and then we'll have a more in-depth conversation about it, because I do wonder if this is going to be groundbreaking at all in any way. Because sometimes, as you know, people wait until after the scandal hits, and then they feel like, okay, you know, I couldn't say anything while the legal part was going on. Now that it's over, I can say whatever I want. I can be free to fire away. But it sounds like they just centered it on this guy, right? And not a bunch of different sources all saying the same thing. Christian Dawkins, yeah.
Yeah, because he wouldn't cooperate. They wanted him, you know, they got him, and then they wanted him to basically, you know, this is how it works. Like when they're trying to get, you know, the mafia, you know, a mob guy, the head guy, they wire, right? They get people wired up and they try to go into the inner belly and get them to say it on, you know, they had already got all the phone conversations, but obviously they wanted him to take it to a different level. I think, quite honestly, they tried to take down college basketball, the FBI, and they just weren't successful. They weren't successful in doing it. It doesn't mean it's not happening. It is, and what's going on. They had the right, you know, they had the right premise. Like what they were trying to accomplish was there. They just couldn't figure out how to get it where everybody falls, you know, the whole thing implodes, or they all go
down.
Don't
you think there was probably some feeling along the way, maybe even from the people that compiled all the data, that this isn't really what the people want, right? At the end of the day, you know, nobody is really gunning to try to take down college basketball. Is that fair to say? Even though it is corrupt and the system has gone where it has behind the scenes, up under the rock, that we don't like to look under, right? We just watch the games.
Right.
You know, most people just watch the games, and maybe some of us have a sense of, you know, who's going to what ends behind the scenes. Sometimes we're surprised. Sometimes we're not surprised at what we find out. But the bottom line is we love the games, right? We don't necessarily want, you know, the 10 most exciting programs or most successful programs to get thrown to the wolves and change college basketball forever. College basketball has got enough problems staying popular as it is.
So you're saying it's kind of like, you know, I know what's going on, but I'd rather not talk about it. We'll just pretend like it's not there, nothing to see.
Well, I think you could say that about college football and college basketball for the last 50 years, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think you could have said that about the steroid era in baseball. I mean, I think there were people that knew what was going on, but it was like, yeah.
Well, I think there was more pushback on that. I think there was more of a faction of the country who were like, wait a minute, I like baseball the way it was. I don't want it to be a bunch of mutants. I don't want there to be the wild, wild west. I think you want to be able to compare Hank Aaron to Mark McGwire and to Barry Bonds. You want to. That's important.
But that's not what the ratings said.
I think they won that battle. I think they won that battle after over time.
Yeah, but the ratings said,
well, I think for a while. I think for a while they definitely. Well, there's no question they looked the other way for a while. But I think
it pulled them out of
over time, they continue to fight that battle. I'm not sure that. I mean, if you look at college football or college basketball, this could have happened in any particular year, right? If you said let's do an FBI sting in 1990, you could probably find some version of this, right? Somewhere along the line, some cheating, however you want to define it. Now this it's become more layered and more complex today, but it's essentially the same thing, don't you think? But the bottom line is this is how we have built it, and this is how we kind of want it, right? We want our college football. We want our college basketball. That's what most people would say.
Yeah, the reason that I'm not sympathetic toward Christian Dawkins, because he tries to play the sympathetic, his whole, you know, I'm innocent, his whole, I guess, argument is what we've already known. He's just basically saying the system's flawed. I don't agree with it. So, you know, I'm a good guy. I'm trying to give these kids what they rightfully deserve. Look, that doesn't work, dude. That's not how life works. You don't get to say the speed limit is 55. That's BS. The speed limit should be 70 right here. So I'm going 70 because I believe the speed limit should be 70 right here. Good luck with that. That defense doesn't work. When you get pulled over and you get a ticket, you don't get to say, you know what, this is wrong. This area right here should be 70. It shouldn't be 55. I am against this number that you guys have posted. The law is wrong. It should be 7 here. Everybody knows that. That's why everybody goes 70. Guess what you get? You get a ticket. That's what you get. You don't get off. Because that's right. What he's basically saying is, this system is flawed, you know. And he's got all these all the stuff we've heard over the years, you know. This, you know, the example. If you go to Northern California and Google wants to get some kid who's 17 years old and right out of high school, and he's the prodigy. They can give him a signing bonus, and you can come be an intern for $30,000. And then if you work out, then we'll give you a six-figure job, and they can do that. And it's like, well, yeah, but we've heard all those examples before. I get it. In other areas, kids right out of high school can get paid. We get it. We understand that. It doesn't give you the right to because the rules are still in place. Because you disagree with them doesn't mean you get to go do something and then say when you get caught, hey, man, I'm just trying to do – this is what it should be, and I'm just trying to give, you know, them what they rightfully deserve. You don't get to say that. That's a lame argument for a guilty person.
Well, first you have a lot of people, and Jay Billis would fall into this category, I think, generally speaking, that would like to change the rules, right, to make it more real.
Well, there's
right?
a lot allow, of people. There's people a long to, line of people
yeah,
that would
yeah.
change
so there's,
the rules.
There's, you're right. There's a lot of people to do that. There's also another set of people that believe what you're saying 100%, Darren, and say, that's why they rationalize. Either a coach, an athletic director, or even a school president would say, hey, I'll live with it. You know, this is a reality. In order to win, this is what we have to do. So go ahead and go 70, right? We'll deal with the fallout. It's worth the risk. If I got to fire my coach for cheating eventually, okay. But we'll go for it. We're going to go for the wins. This is how we have to compete. It's a little bit like the steroids in that fashion. And then you do admire the coaches or and the programs that try to stay, let's say, if it's not 55, more like 59 or 60, right? They're willing to bend the rules. They'll go a little over the speed limit because they know they have to win, but they're going to try to maintain integrity as much as possible. And then there's all in between, right? But that's really the game that is played, right? On some level of the spectrum, everybody to try to win big is going to have to go outside of the 55 mile an hour speed limit. True? You got to go over 55 if you want to win big.
It's pretty naive to think that you can just truly do it on the up and up. It is hard to believe that. But once again,
that's sad.
Yeah. But once again, it doesn't give you the right. I didn't say I agree with the system. I'm saying it doesn't give you the right. That's not a good enough defense to when you get caught to say, well, I don't agree. Like it's BS.
Right. As long as they keep the speed limit at 55, it is BS. If they change the system, which is the Jay Billis, right? If you make the speed limit 70, then that's different. That would help. But the question is, once you made it 70, there would be some programs that would go 80.
Yeah,
right?
no question.
That's life, right?
Right. No doubt about it. We can pick this up on the other side because I do think there's some more interesting layers to it. We'll do that to close out the first hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nate has asked us on Twitter, what is the show called? Is it on Netflix? How can you find it? It's called The Scheme, and it's an HBO documentary, and I watched it last night. Unfortunately, I didn't know. Willie, you heads up to you, and you said that you gave us the heads up. I didn't realize that it was being aired last night, and unfortunately, when you gave us that text, I looked and saw the next time it was coming on. It was 11 o'clock, and of course, at 11 o'clock, things are obviously winding down, and I was like, you know, everything's quiet here. I'll just see what this is about, and then I should have known. Like, okay.
You got sucked in.
You're not going to turn it off. You're going to watch it, and I did. It's 2 hours long, and I watched the whole thing. I think we've talked about this. This is not some new topic to Sports Talk Radio. We've talked about this for a long, long time, and I know I used to for many, many years, and I believe – you know, you're allowed to change as the times change because everything changes, that you're allowed to change your mind. And I used to think for a long, long time that the system was enough, you know, that there's no shame in getting a free education. These athletes don't live like everybody else on campus. They have awesome dorms. They have awesome facilities. They get to travel and stay in nice hotels and take private jets and or private charters. And, you know, who's kidding who? They're not living like everybody else who they have classes with, okay? So let's not pretend like they're just like Joe Blow walking around on campus, because they're not. But as the sport grew and as there was so much, the TV contracts grew, and then everybody was making – you know, they were making money then, but now making obscene amounts of money. And college football and college basketball are worth billions and billions to the universities, the athletic departments, the NCAA. Okay, so everybody's getting rich. These coaches are getting rich. These schools are getting rich. The NCAA is getting rich just by being a governing body. And, yes, it's all because of the product and the kids – the reason that everybody's getting rich. So I understand that, and I've changed, because now that there's so much money involved, I do believe that, you know, certain sports deserve to get paid, because when you're a cash cow, that you deserve to get paid. And I know the pushback is going to be, no, wait a minute, everybody should get paid. No, I don't think everybody should get paid. That's my opinion. That's life. That's not how it works. We're not all even. We're not all equal, okay? We're not all playing with the same rules. That's in every facet of life. It's in every workplace. People have different rules. If you sell $2 million in revenue as a salesperson and another person sells $750,000 in revenue, guess what? You're treated differently than the one selling $2 million a year. Okay? Got bad news. Don't be late. Don't be late to a meeting, okay? Because you're going to get in trouble. The person who's selling $2 million a year, nothing will get said to them. That's life. Okay? It sucks. Toughen up. That's the way it is. So I don't believe everybody should get paid, because none of these programs are making schools money. A lot of them are losing money, okay? But it is, there needs to be guys away, and they'll point this out as you guys watch the scheme. Like, how do you? There's so much money attached. And by the way, I haven't even got to where I'm going with this. The shoe companies, like, they showed some of the schools, like UCLA gets, I think it's like $250 million from Under Armour. $250 million.
Wow.
Just, oh, by the way, they get free product and they get paid $250 million to represent their product, their school, their athletes. Well, that's great. I mean, those kids and the athletes, boys, girls, they get, you know, nice Under Armour swag. That's great. But the school's getting $250 million. And, you know, they kind of point out the other schools, like $180 million with Adidas in this school and $220 million with this school with Nike and, you know, $170 million for Kansas and this shoe company.
Has it always been that way, like with the shoe companies? Or is that did Nike kind of spearhead that with, obviously, you know, Oregon? We know the connection there. But is that something that's just kind of been around? Do they talk about that, or – is that just something that's kind of...
Oh, the shoe companies are absolutely involved in this documentary.
No,
sure.
I know. But, I mean, like, my question is, has that always been the case? Have the shoe companies had that much pull, you know, or is that more in the recent history and not, you know, going back?
Willie, somewhere? I'll let you weigh in, because we used to talk to Tim Thompson for a long time and a long time ago, who was involved with Nike. And so, you know, I'll let you weigh in on that, because, you know, we've had these discussions going back 15 plus years ago.
The shoe companies have always had a big role, not always, but they have had a role for a long, long time. I think it's evolved though. And Tim was with Converse for a long time before, Nike.
Converse,
and so Converse,
that's right. Converse.
Yeah. Well, no, he went to Nike and I think, you know, stayed there for a long, long time. But, I mean, even that, like the battle between Converse, Nike, Reebok, you know, the way they competed with each other was to get to schools, right? And then it became not just, hey, will you wear our shoes for your entire team, but we'll give you the shoes, to, hey, we'll give you all this money. And, hey, why not have the entire school outfitted, right? It's all evolved. And then the shoe companies, I was in this day and age, we're watching a lot of documentaries, right? I was watching a recent one, how Nike was able to sort of leverage Michael Jordan against the entire NBA, right, to get the individual ability to market the Michael Jordans. Like, they banned the shoe. They banned the original Air Jordan from the NBA. That's when I think Nike kind of figured out how powerful their leverage was and how big of a star to endorse a single athlete was. And so on the college level, you can't do that. But I think the shoe companies all sort of said to themselves, you know, we have an ability to influence a lot of things here that will help our business. And it sort of evolved from there. Does that make sense? Because I think now it's more layered.
Yeah.
Now, you know, players are tied to shoe companies, right? When, let's take Romeo Langford, right? There was a time where it looked like it was possible that Bryce Drew was not only going to get Darius Garland, but he was also going to get Romeo Langford. And a lot of people, there were some stories written, I don't know if it's been verified or not, but that Adidas's influence on Langford, and you can go back through the whole story, the AAU coach and all that stuff, because the shoe companies outfit the AAU teams and throw a lot of money at them, and so they can direct kids a certain way a lot of times, that was a big factor in Langford's decision to sign with Indiana and not Nashville, not Vanderbilt, because Vanderbilt was a Nike team.
That's right. Yeah. Sonny on Twitter tweets me and says the shoe companies got involved in the 70s and 80s, and he referenced the Sonny Vaccaro, the 30 for 30, which is a good one.
Oh, yeah.
By the way,
that's
a really good one. So to answer your question, Chase, yes, it has, but just like everything, just like kind of what I was saying, it's all evolved to where we are today, where it is such a huge, huge industry, and there's so much money. Like I said, was there money, and, you know, were people getting rich back then? Yes, but just not the levels that we see today. And that's why I've changed my mind. I mean, I go back, I don't know how long it's been since I've changed my mind, but I've changed my mind and said, you know what? These athletes do deserve more. Everybody else is getting rich. But remember, Chase, we're not that far removed, and Willie knows this. You know, it was unheard of for a coach to make $1 million a year. We're not right. that far away. It wasn't that long ago. Like now, you know, it's a joke. Like it's like you get $1 million, you get $1 million, you make $1 million. I mean, assistants, coordinators get millions. You know, back then it wasn't. We're not too far ago. This wasn't 70s and 80s that it was unheard of for a coach even to make $1 million a year. That's how quickly this has skyrocketed. I mean, if you would have told us 15 years ago, hey, by the way, Vanderbilt's football coach will make $3.5 million, and we would have said, what, over 5 years? No, right. per year. Right. And we'd have been like,
it's just evolved.
That's a good
so
one.
Much.
That's a good one. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Vanderbilt will play their football coach $3.5 million a year. Sure. Good one. Hey, well, guess what? You know, now everybody pays their coach, you know, millions. And so it's all changed. And so there's so much money. These shoe deals. And by the way, you will see if you guys watch the scheme today, I mean, how heavily involved Adidas and the shoe companies are in this, because look, it's part of the game, especially in the college basketball circuit. You know the two big players, right? It's AAU and it's the shoe companies. And all these middle guys like Christian Dawkins. Like I said, Christian
right.
Dawkins,
well,
he's not the
really,
only one.
That, oh, yeah.
There's all
and that's,
kinds
honestly,
of Christian Dawkins out there.
In a lot of conversations I've had with my coach, Eddie Fogler, that's largely why he soured on wanting to continue as a basketball coach. You know, he loved coaching the games. He loved preparing for the games. But we remember we just had him on a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about the recruitment of that great 82 North Carolina team. So he had recruited for decades. But as it evolved, you know, you started really having to get to the middleman, the shoe company guy, the AAU coach, you know, the handlers, all of these guys who were layered in between the coach and the family of the player, right? And he said he didn't like that part of it, right? I think that's what changed. The shoe companies were involved, but a long time ago, it was still more of a relationship with the high school coach, the player, the player's family. That was much more what controlled the recruiting. Now, sometimes you don't even know how the family really feels, right? You might even have stories at the end of it of the family going, you know, I really like Coach so-and-so, and I really thought that was the best place for my child to go. But, you know, the AAU coach, the shoe company, you know, there was all these other things that got involved.
Yep. Just as we wrap this up, and we'll get Teresa Walker in here to kick off the second hour, just to put this in perspective, here you go, Chase. David Shaw at Stanford. Stanford football, what do you think he makes per year? Just throw out a number quickly.
I'll say $4 million.
4.6. How about Kirk Ferentz at Iowa? 3.8.
4.8. Jeez.
Gary Patterson, TCU.
5.
4.9. Mark Stoops, Kentucky football.
6.
$5 million. I mean, see what I mean? I mean, just think about that.
Right.
Just think about those
it was
schools.
Never that way.
This is football. Kentucky, TCU, Iowa, Stanford. I just told you it, from 4.6 to $5 million per year. That would have been laughable 10, 15 years ago if you would have said that. I mean, laughable. That's where we are today, and that's why I had long since changed my mind. All right,
Money
we will come
talks.
Back. Yes, it does, and a lot of things walk. Teresa Walker to kick off the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase. That's next.